Great. So now we can have a tiny short break while we change teams for the second topic. Pointer ever, isn't it? Okay. Okay, we're ready to continue. For the second round, we're back with a question that has been discussed here before of whether or not weak values are a real quantum phenomenon. On the affirmative side, we have the dream team of Dylan, David, and Dan. On the negative side, Liz, Ilan, and Ben. And before we start, let's again do a quantitative measure of how convincing they are. Who believes that weak values are a real quantum phenomenon? I think I'm going to leave that part to the definition of the problem. Well, shall we come back after the first questions? Okay, as best you know the problem at this point, who believes that weak values are real? Well, yeah. So, sorry, could I just see the hands again for a real quantum phenomenon? Three? Okay. And who believes they are not a real quantum phenomenon? So somewhere between six and seven, depending on how sci-fellows count. Okay. So without further ado, Dylan.
Hey, everybody. So I'm just going to quickly explain what weak measurement and weak values are, and then convince you that they are surely a truly quantum effect and not classical. So
suppose we have some, can everyone hear me? Yeah?
Yeah, just take this just in case. Suppose we have some system, S, quantum system, and we're going to couple it to some measuring device, M. We're going to assume it's a two-level system, so there'll be some observable A with two possible outcomes, A0 or A1. And our measurement device is going to be a pointer, which is going to point somewhere on the real line. And what we're going to do, we're going to start with some state psi, which is generically going to be just some superposition of A0 and A1. And we're going to couple it to the state of our pointer. And now we're going to entangle these two systems so that we get a final state that looks like this. I hope you can all see this. Maybe not. Feel free to stand if you can. Now, the main point is, this pointer, in the usual measurement setup, the way that this coupling or entanglement will work is that the state of the pointer, if we are in the A0 state here, will just look like a delta peaked around the pointer pointing at the eigenvalue A0, and similarly, will look like a delta peaked around A1 in the situation where it's in A1. So that's when we've entangled them in order to make a proper, strong measurement in the usual quantum setup. And now the key idea of weak measurement is that we're instead going to allow our pointer distributions to be spread with some kind of variance that's relatively large. And this way, if we make a measurement on our pointer and we get some value here, it could have come from the true state of the system being A0 or A1. So we don't get complete information, but we get some kind of idea about whether it's more likely to be A0 or A1. But the gain is that we don't completely disturb our system, collapsing it into one eigenstate, but we maintain somewhat its superposition, and we face a trade-off between gaining more information and collapsing it more, or receiving less information and collapsing it less. Now, to define weak values, what we could imagine doing is, can I just get a time check? Great. To define weak values, what we can imagine doing is post-selecting on the result of this measurement, perhaps in some new basis, and then looking at the resulting distribution tracing out onto the state of the measurement device, and it should also still look like some Gaussian with a center at some value given by, suppose we're post-selecting on getting the state phi, it should be given, the center of this Gaussian should be given by the value, and then just over this normalization. And this is what we define as the weak value. Now, as you can see, in order to define the weak value, and in the context of weak measurement, we've needed the concepts of a superposition of states. We've needed to talk about entanglement, disturbing the system via measurement. And these are all what we think are truly quantum effects. As well, in order to specifically define the weak value and interpret it properly, we require more subtle quantum effects that my colleagues will elaborate on. And for this reason, I hope you should be certainly convinced that this is all a true quantum effect. Thanks.
Hello. Thanks. So the weak values here that Dylan has described, I mean, he's defined weak values within this framework of quantum mechanics. We have Hilbert spaces, we have these Hermitian operators. So obviously, you know, these aren't reproducible classically. So now we need to relook at the statement, which is on either side. This house believes that weak values are a true quantum effect. So what do we mean by true quantum effect? What we interpret that as meaning is that we cannot reproduce weak values classically. But you know, weak values are defined in this quantum mechanical framework. And so what we need to do is generalize this definition so that we have the concept of a weak value in an operational framework that's model independent. And if we've generalized our weak values into to be operational, then sort of the statement is trivial, like weak values could then be reproduced classically because we've just given a more generalized definition of weak values. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, what's the surprising feature of weak values in quantum mechanics? And this surprising feature are these so-called anomalous weak values. And these are when your weak value lies outside of your accepted allowed outcomes, if you will. So we can then sort of look at this question and rephrase it in a way that is, can we reproduce anomalous weak values classically? And so what we will show using a generalized definition of weak values that you can get anomalies in classical models, and the weak values, or sorry, these anomalous weak values are just a statistical feature of pre and post selection. And so to generalize, we're going to consider a statistical model with three events. So I'm just gonna. So we have psi, s, and phi, and each of these can take on either a plus or minus one outcome, where psi is your pre-selection, s is your intermediate measurement, and then phi is your post-selection. And it should be noted that in any statistical or any statistics problem, that all the information is contained in the joint probability of the random variables, and any interesting probability distribution can be derived from the joint probability distribution. And so if we consider the conditional expectation value of S, which I'll write here, okay, so this is the conditional expectation value, and it was shown in a paper by Combs and Ferry that this is proportional in quantum mechanics to what is called the weak value. And so our constant of proportionality, lambda here, is what we call the weak parameter, and this can be chosen. And so am I out of time? Okay. I'll just quickly write down. This is our new operational definition of a weak value.
So I'm here to kind of put things in the right places and make sure that everybody is on the same page here. Because it seems to me that the opposing team is kind of standing up a straw man here and trying to attack it. And so I would like to emphasize here that, and we certainly would agree on that with the opposing team, as was already mentioned, even, that the weak values and the weak measurement defined on the right blackboard by themselves are not at all controversial topic, but the risky business that comes with them is connected with measuring on a weak measuring on an with post selection on an ensemble of many particles, therefore producing those anomalous weak values, and more importantly, then kind of falsely or kind of overly interpreting those values to have some physical significance. I would like to emphasize here that our house dissociates from all those over interpretations of results coming from the weak measurement. Because as far as we know, the weak measurement tells us some information about the measurement system, measured system, but it is not even clear that there should be at all any direct connection between a measured weak value and a physical property of the system. Notice that I use the word measured, even though the weak measurement is not a quantum measurement in the classical projective sense of the word. I'm convinced that even if there is a plausible and self-consistent classical analogy presented here, the analogy to weak values, we cannot at all, strictly speaking, draw any conclusions about its quantum counterpart. And, you know, based on a mere classical analogy or something. To sum up, even though it is generally very hard to interpret those weak values physically, there was not, nor there will be any argument presented here to disqualify the weak values from them being a quantum effect simply because of, as was said, their very nature. So this is all I have to say, and I'll pass the word to my esteemed colleague, Ilan.
Thank you, David. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see we can come to some agreement here. And it's great that you're not trying to extract any more physical significance from weak values, because it is indeed very hard to do so consistently. And we want to argue that they are not a true quantum effect. They are certainly a quantity that can be calculated in the quantum theory. It can be calculated if we take two states and apply this formula as they were defined. It can be calculated, but is it meaningful? Is it an effect? Is it something we should pay attention to? Is it interesting? And we have reasons to believe it's not. What are the most interesting things in quantum mechanics? Those are the things that cannot be done classically. Those are things that, for instance, would allow us to give us computational advantage. We don't think weak values seem likely to be the answer. The only thing that may seem weird about weak values or unconventional is their anomaly or their possibility of giving a value that is outside the range of expected values. However, if we don't ascribe them any physical meaning, this becomes not surprising anymore. This just is irrelevant. And the evidence we have for why we don't think it would provide us with any new tools or any new features that are not available classically, this anomaly, is because it can be reproduced classically. As Combs and Ferry have shown in a recent PRL paper, they started with the simplest classical model, a simple coin. And they described a protocol in which Alice and Bob can perform measurements on this coin and pass the coin to each other. And if they follow that protocol and using our operational definition of weak values, which has to be used if you want to make any claims about its fundamental quantum nature, then we can get an anomalous value. Then we can get a value of 100 heads. But it just doesn't mean anything in the same sense that quantum mechanically, they're not trying to claim any physical significance to it because it doesn't seem to have. Classically, it also doesn't have any significance, as we can see by the fact that getting 100 heads in a single coin toss is just preposterous. It's important to be able to focus on the puzzles nature provides us instead of in artificially created ones. Quantum mechanics has forced us into seemingly paradoxical situations that challenge our intuition. This is not one of them. Constructing complicated quantities involving probabilities conditioned on pre- and post-selected states just deprives us of any intuition. And therefore, any value we get is not unexpected. We just have no expectation. This puzzlement is artificial, and it only comes from trying to ascribe physical meaning to this calculated quantity. If we don't, then weak values are simply not interesting.
Okay, after hearing a good view of the arguments on either side, we have time for questions from the audience.
To your side, did you say that this does not have any physical significance? Because it seemed as if when you draw those things and you measure something, that is going to tell you which, that is going to give you some value, and that has to have some kind of physical significance.
Certainly. I think perhaps you're misinterpreting the comment that David made here. So as I explained during my speaking, the weak value is giving you some information about the system, but just not a complete information. And I think maybe the comment that he was making was just that the sometimes weak values, certain calculations with weak values, certain people in the literature have overinterpreted them and tried to get some kind of like exciting physical, quote unquote, physical phenomena from. And we are disassociating ourselves, what he was trying to point out, from these anomalous weak values, which are just not really relevant to sort of our discussion of whether or not they're quantum, the sort of anomalous part, not concerned about.
And maybe just to be clear, anomalous weak values are just weak values that lie outside the eigenvalue range of A. And we're not dissociating ourselves from getting an anomalous weak value. That's something that can happen, and then your pointer is likely to be pointing very far when you might not have calculated that if you didn't know about weak values. But what you might not know is there are some papers that talk about quantum time machines or negative kinetic energies where those specific sort of loaded interpretations we're not going to touch.
Also, I wanted to add that those anomalous weak values usually happen when you have an ensemble of particles that you pre-select and then post-select, and kind of like in a way to get the you're kind of aiming for that anomalous value. So then it kind of. But however, as you seen this from this like a simple picture, there definitely is some merit to it, mm-hmm. but we have to be very careful about the interpretation.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify about that because Ilan, I like direct my question to you now. You mentioned that weak values do not have any physical significance, and then you based your argument to say that in that same sense, we can build up a classical theory which does not have any physical significance. So if it does have a physical significance, don't you think that your argument falls short? Thank you.
I said it's not easy to ascribe any physical significance from the definition. It's just a definition that involves pre-selection, post-selection, lots of statistics. And in order to measure a weak value, you have to throw away a lot of your data in the post-selection phase. Or it depends on what your pre-selected and post-selected states are. And once you do that, we lose all the intuition. So if you try to give it physical interpretation that a lot of people attempt to do, including the inventor of this concept, Aharonov, and others, we see that interpretation falls short, and I think that the opposing team agrees with that. So once we realize it doesn't have to be interpreted in that way, then we can provide classical analogs, and then we see that there's nothing special about that as opposed to other aspects of quantum mechanics. They're using they're using Hilbert state vectors, they're using operators there, they're doing quantum mechanics, therefore there is some quantum mechanics there, but there's nothing new being added.
Okay, let's leave the rest of the questions for later, and now we come back to the final two speakers from either side.
Well, now so that all the arguments have been presented, I'd like to come back to something David said, where you said that we were attacking a straw man. It's funny that you bring that up, because that's a phrase that has cropped up a lot in the recent literature on this topic. It does seem that people talk past each other and don't necessarily, the things that they're disagreeing about is one of the things that they're disagreeing about. Nobody really knows who's agreeing about what. So we actually do agree on a lot of things. You know, Dylan, your math is impeccable here. I can't really take issue with it. You know, this is clearly an effect that happens, and that is not something that we're denying. But what we do deny is that this is something to be surprised about, something novel, something truly quantum in the ways that my colleagues over here have explained. This is a quantum foundations class, and our goals in foundations are to discover what is truly novel about quantum mechanics and what isn't. You know, there are many things that are novel about quantum mechanics. You know, if we didn't think that there were, then we wouldn't have quantum mechanics. But what's novel about this is nothing surprising compared to what we're used to since undergrad. You know, you've shown something that we already know. You know, here's quantum states in Hilbert space and Hermitian operators. Those are novel. But, you know, if we're talking about anomalous weak values, you know, it's true that only in quantum mechanics can you measure a weak value outside the range of the eigenvalues, because in classical mechanics there are no eigenvalues. If I want to measure the spin of a spin 1/2 particle to be 100 in classical mechanics, I take it and I spin it faster. So in order to make any meaningful comparisons, we have to have definitions of weak values that have broader applicability than just quantum mechanics, because what you've done here is clearly not classical. We believe that the definitions that we've presented over here in terms of the conditional expectation of, you know, the middle outcome given the initial and final outcomes is a good generalizable definition. It is not supposed to be identical to the quantum weak value in all respects. It can't be for the reasons that I've already said. But we think that it captures many of the essential features, and in particular captures the surprising features like anomalous weak values. You can always argue that, you know, here's my definition, this is a quantum thing, and you can say our definition isn't good, but you have to offer an alternative that can be generalized. If your only definition is something that can't be generalized, then, you know, saying it's quantum is sort of pointless self-congratulation. I was talking to Josh Combs, who's one of the authors on these papers recently, and he says, you know, saying as defined by Aronov, Albert, and Weidman, our weak values quantum is kind of like asking, is steak a meat? You know, of course steak is a meat, it's defined as one. More interesting question is, you know, are all delicious things meat? And some of us might say yes to that too, but that's something that we can actually disagree about. In the end, I think we have more in common than we may have initially realized, and we should start from, you know, our points of agreement to find out what exactly it is we disagree about. And it doesn't have to be bitter, and I still like you guys. So.
So I would disagree with Ben that the onus is on us to come up with a general and abstract definition of what weak measurement and weak values are. If you sort of look at historically what's happening, there's a school of research into weak measurement and weak values. Yes, some of the sort of loaded interpretation is fuzzy, But on the other hand, weak measurement is a real process that you can do in the lab. Weak values are a mathematical quantity that you calculate. Shaking your head. They are certainly a quantity that you can calculate, and you can, and weak measurement is sort of expresses the trade-off between disturbance and between knowing exactly what the end result of the system is. And I think that it's not self-congratulatory to call it quantum. It's just acknowledging that you're doing quantum and using this formalism. So the real heart of the issue is the definition presented by the other team, which seeks to sort of abstract the essence of what weak values and what weak measurement are, is that definition successfully abstracting the concept of weak values and weak measurement? And of course, they didn't have much time to go into the details of it, not their fault. I won't therefore have much time to pick out the specific details of it for why it's not abstracting the right concept. But the fact is, I think it's not. And for instance, I won't try to go into specifics here, but for example, there's a paper out of PI explaining how that gives another sort of gloss on what a general weak anomalous weak value would be, and shows that if you're going to have an anomalous weak value, then your theory should be non-contextual, or should be contextual like quantum mechanics is, and like classical theory isn't. And I think that sort of an analogy to the way that this analogy is too broad is if you considered entanglement, and people are saying, oh, entanglement's a quantum concept, and of course everyone agrees, and you could say, oh, well, it's actually a classical concept because entanglement is just having a joint probability distribution for two systems where the probabilities are not independent for the two systems, and that happens in classical theory as well. And you would respond to that, well, you haven't successfully abstracted all of the concepts of what entanglement is. You're only talking about systems having joint probabilities, but if you think about Bell's theorem and so on, there's a lot more to what entanglement is in quantum mechanics. So I think in conclusion, all we can say is that this sort of vague abstraction of what weak values and weak measurement are outside of quantum mechanics don't capture the full theory of what they are in quantum mechanics. And in quantum mechanics, they're used fruitfully to do experiments and to explain experimental results.
Thank you very much for the arguments. We can now go to a final round of questions, and afterwards we're going to tally again to see which of the teams was more convincing.
Okay, my question's to the affirmative. You guys have talked a lot about weak values being a quantum effect. I think I need a bit of clarification here because obviously like the idea of a measurement isn't a quantum effect. So like it's some part of the weak value measurement that's quantum. You've also dismissed talking about anomalous weak values as being the bit that's intrinsically quantum. So I think I missed a bit where you stated which part of weak values are quantum or where the quantum aspect comes from.
Well, I mean, I could certainly say when I introduced weak values, I pointed out that in order to define them, we needed the concept of weak measurement. And that very essentially involved superposition and entanglement, which are both certainly, I think everyone would agree, true quantum effects. And there may be some rough classical probabilistic generalizations of them, which our opponents have used to define this sort of like vaguely analogous formula here on the left. But I don't, as Dan's pointed out, I don't think that they've really abstracted all of the subtleties of what's going on in weak measurement and weak values.
So like there are lots of ways you can involve entanglement and superposition without going to weak measurement. Do you think that's all there is to the quantum nature, or can you suggest?
So what's the
Sorry, I was just saying like I in my like understanding of the problem, I thought that like people were saying there was something really special about weak measurement that made it like explicitly quantum over just going to a lab and doing like a normal interferometry experiment. Is there anything to this, or do you not think that's true?
So, I mean, I think that it involving these concepts that I've already mentioned certainly is enough already mm-hmm. to guarantee it's a true quantum effect. Mm-hmm. But there may be, did you want to comment? Maybe there are more things.
I mean, we would just say that the concept is entrenched already within the quantum formalism. It's not necessarily... You can describe all quantum things without using the formalism of weak measurement if you don't want to. And therefore, it's not adding something essentially new in quantum that was not already in the formalism, because you truly don't need the formalism, but it is yet another way of grouping together these concepts into something that is essentially quantum. And the question is whether they successfully abstracted it or not.
Also, I wanted to comment on what you said previously, that we're like kind of saying that weak values are quantum, but anomalous weak values, we kind of don't want to hear about them. So anomalous weak values obviously are a subset of kind of like weak values, right? Mm-hmm. So what we kind of tried to avoid here was that what people usually say that the anomalous weak values, they usually tend to talk about only the anomalous weak values because they're kind of like very surprising, and therefore, and then they start arguing why this is just misinterpretation of something that's like shouldn't be, whatever, really doesn't make any sense. So that's really why we were trying to dissolve from the weak values and the anomalous weak values and kind of try to stick strictly to the topic of the debate, which is somewhere on the blackboard. Weak values are a true quantum effect. That was just our goal.
Thank you very much.
Can you just, I don't know about this, but I was just wondering if you could go into a little more about whether weak values have been seen in experiment, because clearly, I guess it's shown that the formalism predicts them, but like, could you just tell us what experimental work on weak values has...
For which side is the question?
Hmm? Either side, don't care.
So I can't speak to a specific experiment because we haven't been reading much of the experimental literature, but I believe it's true, and correct me if I'm wrong, that experiments have been done, and you know, nobody questions that the predictions are in accord with what quantum mechanics predicts. You know, our side says that that's not surprising or novel, but we certainly don't deny that it does happen. It is a real effect. The question is what importance we assign to it. Yeah.
Was only briefly mentioned in the beginning is that the weak measurement and therefore its outcome, the weak values, are a direct generalization of the classical so-called strong measurement, and the coupling of the Ancilla system to the measured system is kind of the proportion of that of the strength of the measurement or something. So, and the measurements are being done, and it's just like, as Dylan said, it's just a trade-off of like what we learn about the system and how we disturb it. So in that sense, it's something kind of you can argue that it is something new, because you know, before we just had like collapse the system and there you go, like you talked about that, right? So
yeah.
My question is to Ben, Liz, and Ilan. Just wondering, in the formalism of like the classical weak measurement, what is an analog for entanglement?
We don't need an analog for entanglement. It's an operational framework. We have some input, we have some transformation, and we have some outcomes. And any quantum experiment can be put in such a framework, as can classical. So if you want, then that's the right framework we should use if we want to compare something and be able to test whether or not something's fundamentally quantum. Now, So we can imagine these as black boxes, and I could have a quantum system or a classical system. Are there tests I could do to check whether or not it's fundamentally quantum? And there are. For instance, if my outcomes violate Bell's inequalities, I know my system was fundamentally quantum. There are tests involving contextuality as well. Now, some people seem to think that weak values, or anomalous weak values in particular, are a good test of quantum mechanics, are something fundamentally quantum. And we don't think that's correct.
One thing that I also want to clarify that may not be clear to everybody is that when we're making a weak measurement, ultimately, whenever we actually look at the system and measure it, there may be some ambiguity in the word measurement. So projective measurements still end up being made. The weakness is in the coupling of the pointer to the system under question. When I look at the pointer, I do make a projective measurement on the pointer. The weakness is in the fact that my projective measurement on the pointer doesn't force the original system into an eigenstate. So, you know, when we ask about entanglement, well, you know, like Ilan said, we're not trying to reproduce entanglement. We have three, you know, sharp variables in, you know, the appropriate analog that come out, you know, plus or minus one, heads or tails. And in the quantum version of weak measurement, we still have, you know, three definite results. We're not trying to reproduce other aspects of the quantum case.
Okay, I'm afraid we're going to have to cut the question and answer short at this point. So to wrap up this part of the debate, let me just go to the final poll. After hearing both the pros and the cons, who believes that weak values are a true quantum effect? Eleven in favor? And who believes they are not? Seven. So I think we had expressive gains on the yes side. Yeah.